Well, good morning, everyone. Well, we've just heard that reading from Paul to Timothy. And I think we can learn something about Timothy this morning. I don't know if you know much about Timothy. If I gave you a questionnaire, write down on a piece of paper what you know about Timothy, I don't know how much you would write down. What do we actually know about Timothy? Well, we know that Paul wrote two letters to him. But I want us to look at Timothy, but what we do know. And what do we know about him? Well, we know he was young. And as we look at the letters and other instances in the scriptures about Timothy, he was a young, shy, fearful, anxious, worried pastor of a church. That doesn't seem right, does it? It doesn't seem right that those characteristics should be there of such a person of Timothy. You know, at the end of Hebrews, it tells us that Timothy had been in prison because Paul was waiting for his release so that they could be once reunited. Timothy travelled with Paul, and Paul was like his mentor, trained him. And Timothy was able to watch Paul and learn from Paul. And in fact, when he was committed to being a minister or a pastor, Paul laid his hands upon him. But Timothy had a problem. There was something in his personality, something in his character that made him anxious and fearful. And when Paul wrote this second letter, Paul was in prison. And I'm guessing, I'm speculating a little, but maybe someone had contacted Paul and said, boy, this Timothy ain't doing his job properly. You know, because Christians can be like that. And they were telling Paul that, you know, since you're in prison, Timothy is not doing what he should because he's anxious, because he's fearful. He's not the man we thought he was. He's not doing a good job. And you know, we live in a day and age in which people, even within the church, look for perfection. They look for personality, and people get chosen for their appeal. But I believe it was the Holy Spirit that was on Paul, and Paul saw something in Timothy through the eyes of God that no one else could see. Who else would entrust his time and efforts in a guy that was young and tearful and frightened and anxious? Paul saw something that if that person would give their lives to God, God would so get hold of him that he could minister and pastor a church. So Paul took a lot of time and effort. But he was in prison. Paul was in prison. And whether that had affected Timothy, I don't know. But how did Paul respond? Well, Paul knew Timothy. He knew what he was like. He knew his personality. He knew his character. And he knew that what would be happening in Timothy's mind. And so he writes a letter. And when we look at this letter, I want you to see the love that Paul had for Timothy. I want you to see the encouragement that Paul gave to Timothy. He called him a loved son. He prayed for him every day. He says he had genuine faith. But hold on, didn't you say he was timid and shy and anxious and fearful? Yes, I did. But Paul still says, you're my beloved son and you have got genuine faith. He wasn't putting him down, he was encouraging him. Telling him, as we shall see, don't question your salvation. Don't question the gift that is within you. Don't question that God wants you where you are. Don't question that you can do and you've got the ability to do what God has asked you to do. You are a beloved son. You have genuine faith. You see, Paul knew that Timothy's problem wasn't demonic. Paul knew that Timothy's problem wasn't that he was in some kind of sinful lifestyle. He also knew that it wasn't some kind of a prayer of physical healing would be appropriate. And as we come to sort of a beginning of a new year, there could be things in our lives that come that might make us fearful, might make us anxious and worried. And the first thing I want to say, if that happens, don't question your faith. Don't question your salvation. Because like Timothy, you're a beloved son of the Most High. You can cry out, Abba, Father. Your faith is genuine. And I want to say through what I learn of Timothy, you can be saved. You can be adopted, forgiven, and still have anxious times and fearful times in your life. And don't let the Satan rob you that you're a child of God. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. So let's look at this verse, which has been misused. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Because people say Timothy had a demon. Look, he had a spirit of fear. Paul says it. Well, it can be interpreted that way. That's true. But have you ever heard people say that person has a kind spirit? That person has a loving spirit? That person has a generous spirit? Timothy had a spirit of fear. But it wasn't a demonic spirit. It was just something in his personality, something in his character. You see, I found out that this word spirit can also mean a human disposition. I had to look up and see what disposition meant. So much for dictionaries. And I had to look, and it means an area of your life that is controlled and influenced. And in Timothy's case, it's fear. And Paul was saying, you're saved. I look upon you as my beloved son. I pray for you. But that part of your personality, that part of your character, is not what God has given you to live by. For God has given you power, love, sound mind. That word power is ability, supernatural ability. Sound mind can mean unconfused thinking, thinking straight. Paul knew what his problem was, is how he was thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And Paul wanted to encourage him. What was Paul's intention? Simply that this fear, worrying, anxiety was not from God. He had genuine faith. He had God's Holy Spirit within him. And if he could only grasp that, realize that the Holy Spirit was in him, he's got his ability, his love, and a sound mind. So all that thing, well, I can't do it. I'm just a young person. How did I get myself into this mess? How did I get myself into leading of a church? Paul's in prison. I might be next. And you can see the despair. And Paul is telling him, you've got power. You've got love. You've got a sound mind. And so in this coming year, we need, if we find ourselves fearful and anxious, whether it's through COVID or something else, let's think of Timothy. He was a fearful, worried young man. You see, when you're worried and you're anxious and you're fearful, it affects your mind. I just said that. It affects your memory. Because Paul said to him, when I call to remembrance that genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lewis and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He was forgetful. He was forgetful. He'd forgotten he's saved. He'd forgotten that the Holy Spirit was within him. He'd forgotten that Paul had laid hands upon him. And that he had supernatural ability to do whatever God asked him to do. And Paul was saying, instead of looking within, look what God has done for you. Look at his grace. Look at his mercy. Look at his love. You see, when you have a tendency to worry and fear, you think, am I saved? Has God deserted me? Was I really ever saved? Should I be doing this? Should I not be? And it can play on your mind. And Paul says, remember you have genuine faith. Remember there's a gift within you. Stir up that gift. You see, Timothy had forgotten these. But he was a blessed man, wasn't he? Did you see that? He was raised in a Christian home, had a Christian grandmother. He had a Christian mother from a child. He had known the Holy Scriptures, we are told. He had a great mentor, a great teacher, who was Paul, who was his father in the faith. He had a wonderful ordination service where Paul himself took it. If only he could remember what God had done and what God had said and what God had promised. And I think Paul's right in this because Paul had realized that he got himself into such a state he'd forgotten all this. So Paul was gently, lovingly, kindly reminding him, you're saved. There's a gift within you. Stir it up. But you see, when you get yourself worked up and in a state and you let worry and trouble and anxious sort of get in you, and I know how easy that is, how easy that is done. And this is it. He wasn't serving God as he should. It was affecting how he was serving God. It could not but affect him. And therefore, Paul says to him in verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. He is saying, you're sort of living all sort of like this, almost ashamed of the gospel because I'm in prison. He says, don't be ashamed. Proclaim. And you've got to read the rest of Timothy, where Paul tells him about proclaiming the word in season and out of season. He's saying that gift is within you. Stir it up so you can preach the word. Do what you were called to do. But don't think he was judging or criticizing him. He's encouraging him for that gift. Timothy had forgotten this. Fear had bound him, so he didn't witness as he should. What about you? What about me this morning? Can sometimes fear and worry what people say or what people think, can that stop us doing what God wants us to do? Think of Timothy. Think of Paul's encouragement. You see, there's something I've been thinking about a lot. This coming year, we need to trust and commit ourselves to him. Even what he asks us, even what's happening, is causing us to fear and be anxious. Remember when we looked at the parable of the talents? Why did that person with the one talent, why did he not do anything? Why did he hide it? He says, because I was afraid. Believers afraid. Timothy was afraid. So Paul says, remember you're saved. Remember the Holy Spirit is within you. And if the Holy Spirit is within you, he gives you power. He gives you ability. There's love. There's a sound mind. And there's something else, you know, this next one, it might be controversial. That's got your ears listening now, isn't it? Because I might be stretching things a little bit far, but Timothy's first advice was in 1 Timothy. And I know that when people are consumed with anxiousness, if there's such a word, consumed with fear, it can result in a physical illness. And it can mess up your stomach. It can mess up your digestive system. And then a verse which has always worried me, because Paul said, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent or often infirmities. He was a sick man. He was not a well man. He was not a healthy man. I'm going to suggest, and it's my suggestion, that his fears, his anxieties, the way he thought and thought about life and about himself, made him ill and messed up his digestive system. I know people who suffer with anxieties and fears and troubles, and it messes up their digestive system. Not only do they get pills with anxiety, they get pills with their digestion system. Now, I was taught that this verse meant that the water was so bad that was causing them to be ill, because he was drinking filthy water, and therefore Paul says, take a little wine. I'm going to give you another thought this morning. Timothy was frequently sick. What does Paul do? Does he send him a handkerchief? Call for the elders to pray for him? No, he says, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. I'm not suggesting for a minute that we all start reaching for the bottle of wine if we feel a bit anxious and fearful. But what I am saying, that if Paul was writing this today, he might say, go and talk to someone for your stomach's sake. Go for a walk with someone for your stomach's sake. Have some counsel. Go and see your GP. Because what Paul is doing, he says this before we get to 2 Timothy. And he is saying this, before I can deal with you spiritually, before I can remind you that you're saved, before I can remind you of the gift of the Holy Spirit within you, before I can remind you to stir up that gift, deal with that physical sickness and illness of your stomach. For goodness sake, have a little bit of wine. Because once your stomach is settled, once your physical has been dealt with, I can then deal with you spiritually. I can't deal with you spiritually while you're in pain and agony in your stomach. And so, therefore, I might be wrong. I don't think Paul might not say to take a little wine, but he might say go for a walk. He might say go and do some exercise. He might say get your sleep right. He might say go and see your GP for your stomach's sake. He said, and then we can deal with your spiritual issues. I just think that's lovely of Paul, and maybe his illness and his sicknesses did come from his fears and anxieties and worries. Fear and worry can make you forget what God has done and is doing in your life. Remember his Holy Spirit. His Spirit of love, ability, power is in you. Remember that this as we begin a new year, and it would help you in your thinking. There's a verse in Corinthians that I've never seen about Timothy, because I looked up, and there's this one. 1 Corinthians 16:10. This is before, I think, time-wise, is before Timothy became a pastor. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I do. Paul knew he had a problem with fear, and he was saying, look, you other believers, help him, support him, encourage him. He's got this thing that he is so easy for him to be anxious and fearful. So when he comes amongst you, do all you can to encourage him. Do all you can so he's not fearing and worried and troubled. Why should they do that? Because he shouldn't be fearful. He shouldn't be troubled. He should be just trusting in the Lord. What's wrong with him? Paul says, for he does the work of the Lord. And he struggles. And he battles with fear and anxiety. So when he comes amongst you, make sure you don't make him fearful. Make sure you don't cause him anxiety. Help him. Support him. Encourage him. Paul's desire for Timothy was to live without fear. That fear that was preventing him from doing what God wanted. And therefore, as we come in this new year, let's believe God that he doesn't want us to live in fear that prevents us from serving him, living the life. Well, I just noticed the time has gone. I was going to go a bit on. Paul tells him this, and I've left it on the screen there. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have committed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Paul said, that's what you need to do, Timothy. That's what you need to do. Remember the things I've told you. Look after yourself, but commit, because I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. Paul was in prison. Paul was, thinking he could die, be executed. But he said, I can trust him, even in this situation, and even in this circumstance. So can you, Timothy. I know you think you can't. I know you think it's impossible, Timothy, but you can. Why? Because within you is the Holy Spirit. Because within you is His power, His ability, His love, so that you can have a sound mind. Paul loved Timothy, knew he had genuine faith and wanted to help him, to remind him of his salvation, his calling, his gifts, not to be frightened of the task as this was making him sick. But you know, we all suffer. We can all have fears and anxiety. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus and not the situation, circumstance, or our failures. Some people think if you fear and worry, you're a failure. Timothy was not a failure. Paul loved him as a son. And I believe Paul helped him to rise above his natural inclination to fear and worry so that he could trust in the living Saviour, Jesus Christ. If we can only do this when troubles arise, not only will we live, really live, true to our calling and gifts, but we can have a fear, anxious-free 2022. By that I mean there'll be times when the natural response is to worry and fear. But let's remember what God has done. And so the fear and worry will not control us, but we'll be filled by His Spirit, filled with His power, filled with His ability, have His love flowing through us by the Holy Spirit, and have a sound mind, because that's what God has given to each and every one of us. Amen.
Could I just share what I said to you earlier on?
Yeah.
Please, because it affects everybody. I had a phone message from my young son, who's a man now, saying, I've just had a text.